This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Welcome to Detours. It's Detours, beautiful Saturday morning here in sweltering Melbourne. Now, if you're listening from anywhere around Australia, particularly Sydney, where you haven't had a summer, well, we've had it all for you. So we're happy to say it's warm and beautiful here in Melbourne.
Morning, Jodie. It sure is. Good morning, Greg. It's great to be here today on Detours here on Joy. And I'd just like to say a very special thanks to Matt, our newsreader, who did a terrific first job. Well done. Joy has lots of fabulous talent, including new young people like Matt doing the news. So well done.
And at some point, Matt has to be told it's compulsory to be a guest on Detours when you do interesting travel, Matt. So stay tuned for that, folks.
So we've got a great show coming up. In a few minutes, we will introduce our very special guest, John McKenna. I just thought we'd start off by sort of a bit of reflection about travel news out and about. What's been happening this week? I'm just trying to think. There's been lots of politics in the news here in Australia.
Well, early in the week, if you hadn't heard, Qantas, they're continuing their plans to offshore some of their maintenance people, despite, I suppose they've halved their profit, but they brought that on themselves, didn't they, with the grounding of their fleet when they had their industrial dispute. So if you're a Qantas shareholder, I'd be picking up the phone, giving them a call. And it's still a very safe airline, but there's many airlines out there to choose from these days. Very competitive market. And the other one is the administrators are trawling through Australia Air, the failed domestic carrier, which is trading as per normal, but they're about to work out whether they're viable or not. So, look, if you're a staff member with Australia Air, we sympathise with you, but the industry is pretty vibrant. You'll get work elsewhere, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Well, Australia's tourism industry is, there's conflicting reports about how well we're doing. We've got a high Australian dollar, which isn't good for international visitation, because of the high Australian dollar, that gives us value overseas. But let's encourage people to holiday here in Australia. It creates jobs, it creates vibrancy in the local community, and, there's great things to discover here in our own backyard.
And if you take out the mining dollar from the Australian dollar, take out all that mining, our tourism sector is vibrant. It's growing. It's alive. Very interesting things coming. People coming from overseas, but domestically, there is so much to see in your own backyard.
There is, and in fact, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be heading up to Chill Out in Daylesford, coming up soon. That's on the 12th of March, from memory.
The whole festival runs from the 9th to the 12th of March. Sunday the 12th is the festival day, and we heard last week with our Chill Out special a range of people from Chill Out, including Paul Capsis, who's performing, Dolly Diamond, Luke Gallagher, and people that actually are part of Chill Out, pulling it together and bring it to you.
That's right. It's nearly 6 minutes past 12 here on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Detours with Jodie and Greg. Our very special guest we'd like to welcome to the studio, John McKenna. Welcome. How are you?
Well, thank you.
Good. Well, John, if you don't know of John, he describes himself as a disability commentator on all sorts of interesting things, from accessible travel to tourism to inclusion in the community for people with disabilities. And John has done a really amazing array of different jobs. And here today he's going to be talking about his experiences of travelling. So, John, what makes you an expert?
Expert. Let's define what an expert is.
Commentator, then.
Commentator. I guess travel for me has been, it gets down to a lot of planning, okay? Even the thought of a holiday, it's not one of those, okay, jump in the car and go somewhere. It's sort of, okay, let's start the planning. And I do a lot of travel with my wife, so it's about where's her headspace, where's mine, are we ready to take it on? Because just for the listeners, of course, I'm a person that uses an electric wheelchair. And that takes in things like battery chargers. That takes in a mobile shower chair. I also have CPAP, which is a sleep disorder thing. There's another machine. So it's one of those, quite a bit of equipment that I need to carry. Love to go camping, but I don't find many PowerPoints in trees. So it's stuff like that. It's about that, but that's my story. But I'm also work a lot in the disability sector with other colleagues, as far as people who are deaf, people who are blind and low vision. And we've all got our own challenges, but the key context is the travel. And I think what's been really good is the internet's been a great asset. You can use the phone to say, okay, now I'm going to stay in this motel. I do need a roll-in shower. and you try and, on the other end of the phone, describe what roll-in means.
And what does roll-in mean?
Roll-in, like a ball rolling into the shower. It's got to be able to roll in. But the trouble is you get these athletic people in manual wheelchairs who can go up flights of stairs in their wheelchair, and the operator of the motels very quickly say, oh, yeah, we've had people in wheelchairs here before.
So you're all the same.
Yeah, we're all the same. So it's a batch of questioning. But getting back to the internet, if I can see a picture of the shower recess, and in some cases I say to hotel owners, please just send me a photo of your shower recess right now. I need to see it, because you get caught out if you travel all that way. And I'm talking about the other side of the world, and it's terrible.
So. And have you had that happen? Have you arrived at a hotel in some far-flung place and found a lovely lip stopping you from actually rolling into the shower?
Yes, I have, yeah. And so then you just go, okay, where's your hardware store? How do we get a fix here? A bit of wood and things like that.
So you've done that. You've actually done the quick fix out
yes,
there traveling.
Yeah. You know, Singapore was an interesting one for me. That was I was over there presenting on behalf of the Singapore Lions Club, where they wanted to get Orchard Road ready for their ageing community. Let those people get out and about. And I'm going back 15, 20 years. I haven't been there for a while. And they had a lot of challenges. The footpath alone, of course, just as different levels. And transport, once you get to a destination. I was riding around in an ambulance with a hoist. That's good. Hoist, ambulance, stay in wheelchair with frosted glass windows.
Oh, so you couldn't see the sights as you were
going past. Couldn't see anything. But they didn't care. All that, they delivered. I said I wanted an accessible vehicle that I could travel in and see the sights, sure.
Yeah.
But I couldn't see out the window.
Well, they're probably protecting privacy if you're sort of bleeding or something, but yeah. You were there as a traveller.
Mm.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so a lot of challenges, that's for sure.
So what would you say are some of the key things for you in your planning? Obviously looking on the internet and then asking proprietors to send through photos or if they've got photos online. What are the – just step us through some of the considerations for you using an electric wheelchair, say when you're travelling by plane.
Yeah. Okay, well, it really starts by the prep at home. You would like to think that these days airlines don't panic when they see an electric scooter or a wheelchair, but they do. They still do not have a consistent understanding about what's permitted, what's not. Do you disconnect the batteries? Do you disconnect the control box? How much do you pack it? So I've learned to basically pull my chair apart, have another suitcase, pull all the loose bits off, and send it... So it's interesting because in the airline's defence, you've got some people in wheelchairs who say, I want to get to the plane in my chair and then take my chair away, please. And we've heard of these media stories where people have crawled across tarmacs and what have you, where I am happy to put my wheelchair in at the point where I put my luggage in. That works for me.
But you want it to come out intact, don't you?
Oh, sure.
So yeah. How do you ensure that it's not going
to
be damaged?
Canberra. Do not go to Canberra in a wheelchair.
Oh, you don't go to Canberra?
No. No, just because I've been there and I've prepped my chair and they get to Canberra. This is a true story. Get to Canberra and on the conveyor belts, my chair was in 15 pieces. They were there with screwdrivers and hammers and pulled it apart.
Oh, no.
The most horrific story that still stands in my head, talking about other people. There's a disability called muscular dystrophy. And it's a tough one, this one, because quite often life expectancy, depending on what sort of MD you do have, and I'm talking in this story about kids who get it at the age of 6 and normally, unfortunately, pass away around the 20 mark. I'm not sure of the exact what sort of MD it was. But anyway, 12 of them, this is a true story, 12 of them went from Melbourne to Sydney to play wheelchair soccer. Great. Highlight of their life. Fantastic. The airlines came along at Melbourne, cut all the cables of their wheelchair. Just cut them. So 10, 12 kids arrive at Sydney, the wheelchairs don't work.
That must have been terrible.
It was very hard, really sad. And it still makes me sad now just to tell the story. Mm. Those kids saying, oh, what do we do?
Yeah.
They couldn't play soccer.
But John, often best laid plans are sometimes very difficult when things out of your control go pear-shaped, something like that you've just described. But I remember getting a call recently from someone who I know through my role at Travellers Aid, who rang at 7:30 in the morning on my mobile saying that they were in Sydney and their plane had been delayed. And they had, as part of their family group, two people who used manual wheelchairs, electric wheelchairs. And they required a hoist to go to the bathroom. They didn't have their attendant carers with them as part of this trip, and the place that the airline had put them into met their needs to a basic degree, but didn't have all the facilities that they needed to get ready for the day and then do that next trip. And they were ringing me asking, do you know of anyone who can help us? So I think the information is key, but it's also whether the facilities actually even exist in a lot of cases.
Exactly right. And I guess rule of thumb too is if you can find another person, another peer who has been there, done that, that helps a lot. So it's about this, once it gets back to emails and forums, a bit like my blog, we share information about how we're travelling and what worked for you, what didn't work for you. You know, there's some great highlights I can share with you. Hawaii is fantastic. Every bus was accessible. Vancouver, all transport was accessible.
We'd love to hear more about that in just a minute. We'll talk about your blog and also how you share information here on Joy 94.9. This is Detours with Jodie and Greg.
You'll never need to miss another show. Check out the Joy podcasts, joy.org.au. Joy 94.9.
And that's Deborah Conway with Radio Loves This. You're on Detours with Jodie and Greg, and our guest John McKenna. It's a very interactive show today. Lots of information, lots of discussion, and we should be picking John's brain while we're lucky enough to have him in the studio. 0427 Joy949, that's 0427 569 949, or on air at joy.org.au to have a chat with John McKenna.
Now, John, just before that great track, we're talking about information sharing and travel and for people with disabilities. You've got a website, johnmckenna.com.au, and you describe yourself as a disability commentator. What are some of the topics that you talk about?
Thanks, Jodie, for the opportunity to talk about it. It's for a start, it's a hobby, and it's a fun hobby. I set it up because I guess during my day-to-day life, I do so many interesting things. If I'm not at Port Phillip Prison working with prisoners with an intellectual disability, I'm liaising with funding bodies around how to use funding. My day job is as an advocate, working with people with intellectual disabilities. So I guess a number of stories I can tell, and I've also got a great person who does my illustrations for me. So I'd love everybody to check it out. It's if you did want to subscribe, you get a very small post on Tuesday afternoon that you can read in 20 seconds and delete. So there's my commercial. But no, because let's be honest, nobody wants another an email in their inbox, do they? No one has time to read big ones. But I think this is where my pictures do really well. And I think one that sticks in my mind when we talk about transport was a picture about Federation Square in Melbourne, where when it was first started, it was got a lot of bad vibes, criticisms from people with disabilities. And I've done some consulting work with them recently saying, okay, 10 years have gone past, let's talk about some of the positives. It's safe, it's clean, etc. So anyway, my picture was a taxi driver unloading someone in a wheelchair taxi, and the taxi driver saying, hey, why are you coming here? This is really crap when it comes to wheelchair accessibility. And the guy in the wheelchair is saying, you know what, come back and have a look, it's quite good. So this is where illustrations work with stories. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I've got a large subscriber base, and it's working. But it's about sharing stories and interactive too. And like I said, Twitter's another one that works out well. People, because you know, you just sort of, and let's be honest, Facebook can be a great tool to say where you are now. This is what I'm doing.
So how did you build your interaction with your blog readers? How did you develop that skill, and does it take time?
Getting the word out there, there's a bit of effort, of course, and it gets back to keywords, and I don't want to diverse too much on web stuff, but I love having a really good headline, of course, but there's IT people tell you, now you've got to have the right words, so search engines will find it. So it's about emails, it's about networking, it's about talking about it, stuff like that. So that's how I sort of have got it out there.
But you're right, John, there is an enormous amount of information that comes in your email inbox every day. And I think a really good example of effective social media campaigns has been the National Disability Insurance Scheme, NDIS lobbying and advocacy. And just in the last 2 days, they put on the site videos of individual people telling their stories, which is really powerful.
Sure.
You know, people explaining what the opportunities will mean to them about having a freedom of choice and being able to make decisions and you know, for people to be fully included in the community.
Well, can we perhaps paint a picture for people that haven't unpacked what NDIS means? What does it mean for you, John, having a National Disability Insurance Scheme in the offing?
A level playing field. the lucky people are no longer the ones that get hit by a car. I'm a person that acquired my disability through birth, so I have all my life have been on waiting list and to be assessed. But if I got hit by a Victorian plate, number plate car...
We can arrange it.
Thank you. I've seen you drive too. I'm not surprised. so it's about making things a bit fairer. And, you know, there's a lot of... I do a lot of advocacy work, also with families. And there's a lot of sad cases out there where you've got single mums out there with three or four kids with disabilities, where dad's done a runner and they've got a really tough gig. Mm. And they've got to jump through loops and hurdles and all of this sort of stuff in relation to get just money so they can, you know, survive.
So for tourism, the parent that's left, because families do break down when there's some adversity, the parent that's left to raise the kids probably doesn't have travel or tourism on their agenda, or they've lost that ability to plan and build that into their lives. So NDIS is going to open up, it's like a flower opening up for people's lives, isn't it?
It's going to take away the waiting list for sure. And I think in relation to funding, I think, and for your tourism operators out there, I think it's about them being aware that these days people have their own individual budgets. Now, just briefly how this works is when the Department of Human Services Victoria or even when the National Disability Insurance Schemes comes in, people are going to have their bucket of money that's tied to them. Now, along with that bucket of money comes a plan with goals. Now, it's not my goal is to travel around the world. The government won't approve that. But it will fund a support person to go with that person, which makes travel doable. So it's about tourist operators identifying that people with disabilities have got money, can travel, do spend. In July, I love a drink. I don't know how, but...
Because it's fed fast,
that's right. Thank you. Yeah. But, you know, we've got to spend, and there has been some work on people with disabilities on why they should be identified as tourism operators. The guy's name, I can't think of it. Do you know the guy?
Yeah, he's from Sydney.
Thank you, yeah.
I can't recall.
Done a whole story on it. You know who you are if you're listening. But he's done the maths as far as, wow. Because, you know, it's a bit like the companion card, and that's for venue holders, where I go to a venue to a concert and I take my carer for nothing. Why do it? Because I'm then going with my family. I can go to a gig. I've got my carer there who's going to help me go to the loo and stuff like that. So it does help the sector. It does help so many business owners if you identify it. And let's also talk about seniors. You know, this is where I get really, really annoyed and frustrated about airlines. Seniors still want to go and see their grandchildren interstate. But just because they want to take their scooter, why is it such an ordeal?
Mm.
You're right. But I think, too, then we all need to think smarter about ways to do that from point to point at the other end. I mean, the simple fact is some of the infrastructure doesn't accommodate people's motorised vehicles or scooters. So I think, you know, I'm certainly a big fan of people being able to hire things at the other end, but it's not always appropriate or suitable for people, especially if they've got modified equipment.
That's correct, yeah. Mm. Oh, no, as you know, we've got, there are some great initiatives out there where people can hire equipment at the other end, but we're all different. It depends on your disability. A common one for the deaf community, of course, would be nice if they could, and some motels do have it, where they've got a kit which consists of a vibrating alarm clock, a flashing alert if the smoke alarm goes off, and that's a kit that all tourism operators should have for the deaf community. And also, you know, for people who are blind, there'd be nothing to stop operators to understand, okay, a person's arrived in this room, I'm now going to describe the room to you. It only takes 2 seconds, but that person with a blind vision impairment is going to spread the word. Spread the word as far as that experience.
It's a new market of people, isn't it, that open up for the tourist operator?
Well, is it new? Yeah, I guess it's new. I say, no, we're not new. We've been around for years.
Well, you've been around for years, but yeah. For many people, taking the opportunity to travel and you living with a disability is a new thing for many people.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I was just reflecting, John, when you were talking about people with vision impairments or low vision. We had Andrew Follows here on the show a couple of times, who is a photographer who has very low vision, and he's heading off to Edinburgh. And he's had an enormous amount of difficulties. He's going for the Edinburgh Arts Festival to exhibit his photography from Australia. And his challenge has been trying to find accommodation that, or even somebody to show him around and orientate him in the city. It's apart from the challenges of him finding his bearings, but also his guide dog, Eamon, has to get his bearings as well.
Sure.
After such a big long flight. So I've connected him with some friends, and hopefully in Edinburgh they'll look after him. But you're right, though, John, about describing the room to people. I went to a fantastic event that Vision Australia ran. Blind Sports Victoria. And they had a thank you acknowledgement event for all their volunteers. And it was wonderful at the Melbourne Town Hall how the room was described with the paintings and the heavy drapes and the fabric on the floor and the carpet. And just you got a real sense of the opulence and the beauty of the room. But had nobody taken the time, then a whole bunch of people would have missed out on that experience.
For sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. John, tell us a little bit about some of the destinations that in your view have been accessible and you've had a great time.
Okay, well, I've mentioned Hawaii was good. I've also done Vanuatu, which was good. Oh, sorry, Vancouver, which is good. Sun Princess Cruise. I think a lot of people with mobility challenges do find cruise ships good.
Tell us why it's good. What makes it good and not as opposed to
well,
not
especially
good?
With the one I went on with my wife. It left from Melbourne, so there was no airline involved. After station pier, onto the boat, unpack, and you're right. And they've got access sorted out on some ships, like I said, but it still gets back to your questioning. But at least the ship companies have identified that if we talk about the seniors, there's a market where people are not going to want to go bungee jumping. They want to stay in the one room, but they still want fun. They want excitement. They want to see water. They want theatre. They want restaurants. So it does work, cruise ship lines, for people with disabilities.
And the doors are accessible?
In your room, you'd have not. It's not every room, not every cabin.
Yep. So it's about planning once again.
That's right.
Out which berths and is it in your budget? What's the changes that can be made with the company that's making the bookings, and do they have a connection back with the cruise operator to be able to make some of those changes?
That's right. But you've really got to question hard too, you know, because you know, unfortunately, call centres of course work off a checklist, and they see the word disability, say this, this, and this, but you've got to spell down the details. Say, I am very, very short. My hand can only go this high. Will I be able to reach the PowerPoint in the bathroom? Well, other people haven't complained.
That's but like, have they been
you
like
not
me?
Answering my question. You know, another good story. I wouldn't say good story, but interesting one was when I went on the Indian Pacific train from Melbourne to Perth. Adelaide to Perth. That was good, except, and I knew there was no surprise, but I did know my wheelchair would not fit through the doorway. So it was disassemble wheelchair, build it, put the chair back together in the cabin, and I'd be stuck in the cabin for 2 days. I'd only been married a week. There's a big double bed, free alcohol, TV. It's okay.
I can sounds do that. Like a good trip.
It was a good trip. All right. And admittedly, when we went to Kalgoorlie, they did carry me out and put me on a bus. So, you know, it's give and take from a wheelchair perspective. But I've got to keep emphasising it's about the plan. It's about the talking. Try and talk to the right people. What's worked. You know, I'm really... Just recently, I'm doing a story coming up on blog about global ballooning. I hate that word. They are finally creating a basket with a doorway in it. Okay, so think about it.
What a great opportunity!
Most people climb over the basket. This one is now it's all good, but I said to the guy, I said, okay, but once I get in, am I going to see out the basket? Because as you can appreciate, you then need to stand. And he goes, we haven't got that yet. They're going through a process of being authorised or certified through CASA, of course. So I suggest a couple of portholes would be good through the basket.
Like a submarine.
Yeah, but watch out for my blog because I'll be doing a story on it.
Now, you're on Detours. That voice is John McKenna sharing some of his explorations and tales of being a man living with a disability and working in the field, but enjoys tourism and travel and is an important part of that sector. 0427 JOY 949 or on air at joy.org.au. Gets a message straight into the studio of Jody and Greg.
Melbourne's most uplifting station is about to take you to new heights. Joy 94.9. We can all
be friends. The glitz, the glamour, the people, the parties.
There's nothing like Sydney Mardi Gras.
Celebrate infinite love with Joy 94.9 on Saturday, March 3rd for the annual Joy Mardi Gras Parade. Live outside broadcast.
Tune in from 7 p.m. for music, news, interviews and more as Joy shares the love. Live from Sydney. Thanks to the following proud Joy sponsors.
Resi Home Loans.
Own your dream with Resi Home Loans. Find out more at resi.com.au.
Google Plus.
Follow us at mardigras.com. joy.org.au/plus.
And TAC.
One of the effects of cannabis is it slows the user's reaction times. If you drive on drugs, you're out of your mind.
Become a Joy member so we can give you the best shows every day. Call 1300-JOY-949.
To Detours here on Joy 94.9. The time is 12:40 and we're with you right up to 1 o'clock, and I'm Jody, joined by Greg. Our special guest in the studio is John McKenna, a disability commentator and man of many talents, who also has a blog, johnmckenna.com.au. Now, thank you to Sharon from Collingwood, who's let us know that disability accessible tourism researcher is a gentleman by the name of Professor Simon Darcy from New South Wales, and she's even sent the link, accessibletourismresearch.com. blogspot.com.au if you want more info. So thanks for that, Sharon. Thanks for
Sharon.
Listening.
And you too can message in 0427 569 949. That's 0427 JOY 949, or if you have the iPhone app, you just click a button and it sends a message straight from your iPhone to the studio.
Very.com. Now, talking about .com, John, you were talking before about doing your research for travel before you make your plans, and I imagine the other consideration is also a support worker or attendant carer to assist you on the way. How do you go about planning that?
Sure. Well, I guess, just to put people in the picture, I do require assistance when it comes to dressing, showering, etc. So before taking on the planning, you sort of say, okay, well, I can either go with my wife, and that's fine, and then we talk about, do we want a carer to be part of this? And that goes back to how long, because it's about her also having a bit of holiday. She doesn't want to go and be the carer. So I guess I'll use Townsville as an example. That's a place where I go most years. And it's got the water, it's got the weather, it's got accessibility. We can now do direct flights with Jetstar. I prefer Qantas, but Jetstar's a bit budget, not as good in relation to electric wheelchair travel. But there I use an agency to organise carers. But that's once again, a lot of planning. You've got to get to know them before you meet them. And there's nothing worse to having the person who's not the right match. Because with carers, I'm sure people with disabilities listening will know, it's about having the right match, the right person, the right personality. So you do as much as you can with email, phone. Skype can be really good too. Mm-hmm. Skype, to be able to eyeball people, to get an idea who's going to meet you at the plane. So you've got two options. You can organise for a support person to be at the other end, or you can do a deal with your carer and say, listen, would you like to travel with me? This is what I'm prepared to offer. I'm not going to pay you 24/7, but I'm going to throw in some meals and an air flight and a holiday. And most of them always say, yeah, because it's a good gig.
Because there'd be times where you and your wife would be, at the beach or doing your own thing, reading and hanging out by the pool. But then, the carer might be off doing other things and then come back later at a time that suits your needs.
Plenty of downtime for sure. Yeah.
Okay. Sounds like a good gig.
And you've had some successes, some very good successes, memorable ones from that.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, Townsville is brilliant, and that's because they've just on the for those people being there, they've got the Strand, which is a 4 kilometre concrete, huge long path. It's right near the beach, near the sand, shops, pubs, restaurants, all of that. A bit of an army town, of course, but it's near Port Douglas, near Cairns. People know it, and you've got the weather, so it ticks all the boxes for me. From being on wheels, it's good for me, and also got a taxi service where they pick you up. It's great. That's another story. So it's interesting. I also just want to go back to, we talked about government funding before, about respite. Respite means basically giving someone a break. And I think although government funding doesn't necessarily fund holidays, but getting back to using the words in plans for your funding, if you can word it to sort of say, well, mum or dad need a break, or you just want to get away from mum and dad to break the cycle of your life, which can be challenging depending on what sort of disability you have. Hot travel is brilliant. It really is. It ticks so many boxes, meeting people, seeing things. I know conferences, and I'll just share a quick story about a conference in Geelong called the Having a Say Conference, which is organised by Valid. We had over 1,200 people go to that. Now, these people all have intellectual disability, probably about 20% physical disability, but they come from around the world, from Japan. And it just right one great big buzz, because the whole gig has been designed, the 3-day conference has been designed around disabilities. So the cab company got a heads up. They knew what to expect, and we had carers on hand. It's one of the best-run conferences for people with disabilities in Australia.
And actually, John, you commented on that recently on your blog that I read about the sort of success factors of a fantastic conference that's successful. And some of the things you mentioned as well was were just about the facilities. You know, no dramas, no issues about getting in and out. You know, those things are really important, because the last thing you want to do with all that excitement and anticipation is rock up and just, you know, things go pear-shaped that... Had somebody actually thought about it, it sure wouldn't have been the case.
Yeah. Let's talk about people with mental illness too, of course. Mm. I know we're doing a lot of chat about physical disabilities.
Well, there's a lot of people in our gay and lesbian community that are living with mental disability.
Sure.
So it's an important part.
Yeah, and things that trigger them, and even mums and dads with kids with children with autism or Asperger's, there are triggers that we all have. So it's about, you know, I'd love to take my son or daughter or on the plane, but what's a potential trigger? It's about talking to other parents and talking to the airlines, because, you know, we all can have behaviours of concern. Some are severe, some are cool, some are funny. But, you know, it's about just talking about it, and don't be afraid. Don't just say, I can never go on a plane with my son. You know what? You can.
Yeah, you're right, John. I met a gentleman recently who has a young son with autism, and he said, you know, we used to just fear it and just not go, because his son would get very overwhelmed and very distressed. And then they realised if they actually brought more family members around, they could sort of surround him, not confine him, but just make sure he was safe. And then, you know, find time out spaces like prayer rooms at the airports where they could just have quiet time. And, you know, they planned ahead and it worked really well. But for them, the recipe to success was finding the quiet space.
Sure.
Mm. And that's, once again, planning, thinking ahead. And I think the key from what you said before is talking to people that have been there or that are there, and that communication.
Ideally, yes. There are many advocacy organisations. I've mentioned Valid, but you've also got Association of Children with Disabilities. And, you know, there's a big emphasis right now on peer support. In all of this, and to be honest, your radio is about peer support, isn't it? Helping
each other
with a common interest.
How true.
So yep. I'm talking to the converted here about knowing this is where you get the good information. Guidelines can help, but talk to someone, been there, that's done that. So much power in that alone.
Especially if people are feeling like they're the only one in that situation and feeling isolated. In fact, you know, once you reach out or once you hear of other people's stories, you realise actually you are part of a community. You might not have met them yet, but you are.
Mm. I think it's a valid question. I'd like to turn forward a bit, turn the clock forward. It's 10 years on. It's 2022. And in the last 10 years, things have changed for people living with disability and tourism. What's it going to look like, John?
10 years. Only 10, is it?
Well, you can go more if you want.
Yeah. I'd love to stay in my wheelchair on the plane.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so if I won millions of dollars, that's the first thing I'd do would be buy a plane where I can stay in my chair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, where I, not to run around the plane, but just to be comfortable, not to have to be repositioned.
So the chair, your chair is set up and the cushioning and stuff is particularly suited to you and
that's
your
right.
shape.
Yeah, unless you're as famous as Christa Reeves, who travelled to Sydney, and he travelled in a stretcher. Okay, so aeroplanes can do that. Transport people will allow for that if a person, you know, needs to travel in certain ways.
Mm.
So that's, you know, because it's about getting from A to B. Once you're at B, things are not too bad, but it's the travel.
Mm.
And let's talk bus line. Let's talk buses.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm currently looking to try and find a bus. Hint, hint, anyone out there, I need a 12-seater bus to go to Canberra. Originally we were going to take 3 wheelchairs, now just going to take one. But we want a self-drive, as in, not me, but someone else is going to drive the bus, but I need a hoist. I spent a couple of days ago, 4 hours just Googling and finding where will I get a bus to get to Canberra with a wheelchair spot, 21-seater. So, you know, Phillip Island, these are sort of no-brainer type destinations people want to go around transport. But, yeah, so... Not wanting to bang on about transport, but it does get back to that.
Well, travel is, you need the transport to get you there and obviously get around and be able to see the sights rather than being in an ambulance that's got frosted windows.
Exactly right.
Well, maybe there's someone listening that actually, unfortunately, had a road accident or some sort of trauma, and they're living, and they actually have had some funding from TAC, and they actually have their own vehicle and don't use it all the time, and have a spare week where they can lend it to you, John. Maybe there's a bit of carpooling or vehicle pooling that needs to take place with those that have and those that don't have.
It must be. There is a great website which is called Independent Living Something. I'm sorry, I don't want to confuse your listeners, but Home Exchange. You've probably heard of Home Exchange. There is one designed for people with disabilities, where you put your profile on, and the people in Sweden have their profile, and if you can find a common disability type, you know that they've got an accessible vehicle, they've got a roll and shower, and you can do a home swap. That is awesome. That's out there now. And I'm sorry, just go and Google it, I guess, for everybody, because I don't know the name. It was up and running a few years ago. And it's about knowing that you can go to a different environment where the guy happens to also be in a wheelchair, and he's also got a dog too. So it's about this house swapping with a disability flavour.
We'll be with you till 1 o'clock. Of course, then we have the gorgeous Matt for the news here on Joy 94.9. Stay with us.
Your voice, your radio station. Joy 94.9.
You thought they were pretty smart, but you got being right down to an art.
And that's the gorgeous Shania Twain, That Don't Impress Me Much, here on Joy 94.9. This is Detours with Jodie and Greg. And I'd like to welcome Pete Dillon from Cravings. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I like a bit of country on the wireless.
Oh,
well
very
done.
Good. A bit of country and
I bet you Greg
wrestling.
Chose that.
No, oh, actually, our newsreader Matt chose that because he likes it so much.
Oh, very good. Good on you, Matt. Hey, I've got a very busy show. We're edge ever closer. Food and Wine Festival starts essentially in a week. Matt Wilkinson is coming in to talk about a couple of events he's doing because he's like Mr. Melbourne Food. Scott Wolseley from the Spanish Acquisitions talking about wine events. And Lara's here to talk about events that probably got the best view in Melbourne at Level 89 at Eureka Tower. So all happening, and you know, next week the madness starts and my liver's going in for a checkup.
That's a full hour of Cravings.
Thanks, Pete.
And you can listen to Cravings on podcast alongside this show, Detours. We podcast our show. There's some fantastic shows. Last couple of weeks are up, and check us out. Go to the joy.org.au website/podcasts, and there we are.
And I've actually been listening to some of our podcasts, not, you know, in any sort of crazy way that I want to hear my own voice, but of shows that I've missed that I wanted to catch up on. Our special guest in the studio, John McKenna, we've been talking about people with disabilities of all different types and travel. And so we're talking before about some of the preparation you need to do when you're heading off on a big trip. What other things do you need to get organised?
Well, it's lunchtime now. I'm going to start talking about toilets. So put your knife and fork down, folks, because reality is we all need to do number ones and number twos. And a person that cannot use the average toilet needs to do some planning around how do I do this. So for myself, for a big long flight, of course, knowing that even at stopover, my shower chair, my toilet chair is under the plane, I can't use it. So I pop the pill. We're talking anti-diarrhea tablet. And do not eat. Do not, you know, so nothing, no surprises for me before travelling.
But what about fluids? How do you, I mean, one of the banes of my existence is having enough fluid on a plane, keeping the water up. You get dehydrated. What about fluids?
Well, I guess once again, everybody's got their own way that they discharge fluids. Myself, I use a bottle. Other people have catheters. So, yes, I've had a leak on while sitting on the plane. It's about the subtle bottle, walk through, keep it in the bag and walk down the aisle and people turn away and, you know, stuff like that. It's doable.
Yeah.
But let's be honest, for females, it's a lot more awkward, of course, you know, as far as toileting in that area. It can be awkward. And it must have been, I haven't had that conversation with females often as far as how do they do number ones when on a plane and for great distance. But so I think it's about being conscious about the intake, of course. Don't drink much.
Now, you went to Vancouver. That flight length is enormous.
That's right.
How did you hold on? How can you hold on for that long?
No, like I said, I just was conscious 2 days beforehand. What am I going to eat? What's going to stay in my system? Yes, I took a couple of tablets and there was no accidents.
Good
That's
to hear.
Brilliant. That's brilliant.
All went well.
great to hear. Well, John, thanks so much for joining us. And if you want more information about John's blog, you can go to johnmckenna.com.au and find out more, subscribe and have the weekly updates, which are small to read with great cartoons.
Thank you.
So thanks for joining us, and thanks, Greg. It's been a great show.
A brilliant show. Thanks very much, John. And we've got a lot of people listening out there, so look forward to the podcast for this show later on this afternoon.
Stay tuned for the news and then Cravings here on Joy. We'll be back again next Saturday at 12 noon on Detours.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Get more of the fresh new sounds from around the world.
Joy 94.9.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.